It's been a busy week.
Very busy week. We've only got a little bit of time to talk about headlines, but there was an interesting thing that came out of APAN, a bit of positive. Well, let's start with a positive rather than a negative. They said that Sydney's Vivid Festival dropped Airbnb as an official sponsor following a campaign by Stop the War last year, which resulted in 24 artists and writers withdrawing from the festival, so BDS does work.
And now to the negative. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this week has said that he has directed the Israeli military to take more territory in Gaza by increasing its control from 60% of the territory to 70% of the territory, in a clear violation of the US-backed ceasefire deal signed in October 2025.
The ERTSET.
Yes.
ERTSET's ceasefire deal.
Netanyahu made the remarks during a conference at the Ayn Pratt Leadership Academy in a Jewish settlement in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, and an audience member at the event shouted out that Israel should take, quote, 100% of Gaza. Netanyahu didn't dispute the idea that taking over the entire Palestinian territory was the ultimate end goal, and replied by saying, quote, we're going in order. First 70%, we'll start at that. So very ominous.
I had one from human rights groups who are warning that Australia could become a safe haven for alleged war criminals unless authorities act now. Amnesty International Australia, the APAN and the Australian Muslim Advocacy Network have urged the AFP, the Australian Federal Police, and the Attorney General to investigate Australian Israeli dual nationals who may have taken part in hostilities in Gaza. The organisations filed a submission this week calling for probes into any Australians alleged to have committed war crimes, crimes against humanity, or participated in genocide, saying perpetrators must be held accountable. Amnesty's Mohamed Duar said that the international rules-based order must be upheld and the impunity must come to an end. While Israel's military does not publish numbers of foreign or dual nationals in its rank, media reports have documented Australians travelling to join the IDF after October 7th. Other countries, including Belgium, Brazil, Canada, France and Sri Lanka, have opened investigations into allegations against their citizens or visiting soldiers, but the groups say Australia has so far allowed IDF personnel to enter and leave unchecked.
Interestingly enough, going away from Australia, but Israel's connection to America, which is similar to the kind of arrangements that we've got here with Israel. Ex-Trump campaign chief funneled millions of Israeli government money to his longtime allies' company, a company run by former Trump campaign manager, we'll repeat that, former Trump campaign manager Brad Pascal, hired by the Israeli government to push pro-Israel views on a major conservative media network, has directed $13 million from Israel to several Republican digital strategy firms and allies, according to a previously unreported document filed under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. This is from Intercept. Israel initially directly hired Pascal's firm Clock Tower X last September with a contract worth $6 million. The new filing reveals that this firm has received over $15 million from Havas Media Network, an international media company, on behalf of the Israeli state. One of the largest recipients of the Israeli funds coming in through Pascal's contract is a firm called Portman Road Strategies, which is run by longtime GOP strategist Mike Shields, according to Vigidian State Records. Shields' firm received just under $5 million from Pascal as part of the contract in exchange for media placement, consulting, polling and advertising work. The Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's government has ramped up spending on influence operations. Earlier this year, Israel more than quadrupled its public diplomacy budget from $150 million to in 2025 to $750 million in 2026. The bit that's interesting, particularly interesting, is that $6 million of the Israeli funds are going to Sparkfire Technologies, an AI chatbot company. Sparkfire's role was previously unknown, but it was related to a campaign of text messages that was first reported by responsible statecraft under the contract Pascal's firm's reach outs to Americans under the auspices of proposed peace organizations. They personalised their messages. The AI then performs an analysis of the conversation, with Sparkfire storing the data and using it to target messages to the recipients. Pot texts sent by Sparkfire can appear compassionate, understanding and referential based on screenshots shared with the Intercept and responsible statecraft. Sparkfire claims these types of conversations are highly effective. The company boasts its messaging had a 45% conversion rate, suggesting almost half of the recipients were persuaded by the AI-powered conversation. Interestingly enough, the reason for their targeting the conservative elements of youth in Republican conservatives, who 59% are showing by polling by the Pew surveyors that poll that they're anti-Israel, like 59%. So they're trying to shift that block. And the reason why I bring it up is because you may have noticed that GetUp put out a warning that right-wing operatives have just registered a fake Victorian a party called Refugees Are Welcome Here. It's named to look progressive, but it's actually a vote laundering operation designed to send more votes to One Nation. And under Victoria's group voting ticket system, it's perfectly legal. There are four fake parties. Refugees Are Welcome Here, Muslim Votes Matter, Free Palestine and Save the Environment. They're all fronts and they're all aimed to put preferences through to One Nation. So it's the same psychology, that's my point.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's Avi Yemeni and all them are doing it.
Yeah.
And Monica Smith from
it's called
the...
called Creepy?
Yeah. The remnants of the anti-lockdown movement. So they're clawing back at their relevance.
You know, I think I'd go further than Creepy and call it Slimy.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because I'm reading a Henry James book at the moment, which seems like a left-field thing to say, but there was it's an old, you know, from 1904... It actually said this thing that I thought was really interesting. It said that immorality is actually stupidity. Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me it seems like these groups are probably a little bit more nefarious than just being ignorant, stupid people. but also the other thing that I think is worth picking up for this week's news, Guatemala has agreed to carry out joint strikes with the US military on its territory to target drug trafficking groups in a continued escalation of US involvement in Latin America. Guatemala has become the second country in the region to allow the US military to take part in its war on drugs after Ecuador, where US military personnel are advising and assisting Ecuadorian troops. The Times previously reported that one of the first operations involving bombings that the US and Ecuador claimed was a drug camp actually turned out to be a dairy farm.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's just it's a publicity methodology or slogan that just keeps giving, doesn't it? The war on drugs.
Mm. And I just recall the Ecuadorian comrade that spoke at the Hands Off Venezuela rally that said that a few members of the cabinet are actually Zionists.
Yeah, they're dual citizens. Bizarre, absolutely bizarre. You're on Solidarity Breakfast with Annie Tobiah and Anila.